You've been exploring your spirituality and learning more about yourself, and now you're ready to take bold, positive action. Are you seeking clarity about what is really blocking you from your greatest potential? Do you feel like you're so close to a breakthrough, but you can't figure out why you continue to feel stuck at the same level? Join us now for Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer, two transformational coaches who are eager to share all they've learned over the many years they've each been working with clients, helping them create the life they want. Joyce and Jennifer both have extensive, diverse backgrounds in the art of conscious transformation, and they are here to help you. So tune in now for the insight and tools you need to consciously live, work, and play so that you can live the life you most deeply long to experience.
Hi, it's Joyce here. Welcome to Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer. I'm a transformational coach, life purpose facilitator, and retreat leader who guides women to find clarity and purpose in times of transition, change, loss, and transformation, so to live their life more authentically and courageously.
Hey everyone, it's Jennifer, and I'm also a transformational coach, facilitator, and consultant, which basically means I transform the mentality of leaders so that their entire staff and corporate culture can shift toward higher purpose. But as we all know by now, most importantly, I'm a mom. So, Joyce, today's a big day. Time Magazine announced Person of the Year. And I, wow, for one, am not only shocked, but incredibly grateful for their choice. I was really, quite honestly, very nervous they were going to give it to Donald Trump. And instead of giving it to him, who doesn't need any more notoriety, and I'm sure millions of others would probably agree with me and maybe physically ill had they done it, but they gave it to the Silence Breakers. And so the Silence Breakers are those brave and smart and beautiful women who stood up and started the whole Me Too movement about sexual assault and harassment. And so as a result, Joyce, thankfully you told me about this. There was a powerful interview with Megyn Kelly on the Today Show this morning with these ladies. And I just have to say, wow, wow, boy, did this move me. I mean, I was clapping and crying, yelling at my screen while my animals were looking at me, wondering what in the world was going on. These ladies were saying the exact sentiments I have said over and over and over and over, especially after the presidential election. And Joyce, you've probably said these things too. It's like, this isn't about politics, people. This is about sexual assault. How in the world did we elect a man into our highest office who has been accused of multiple cases of sexual assault? And now Alabama wants to do the same. And his cases were with girls my daughter's age. This isn't about politics. And so this is why I can't usually talk about this for very long, because I get way too emotional because of my own experiences. And so help me God if anyone does this to my daughter, what they've done to me or to millions of women. I mean, oh my goodness. So, you know, I've gotten on a soapbox before talking about how I can't talk to certain people from my hometown on Facebook and I have to just cut certain things off. And I don't feel like, you know, in the short time we have to talk on this show, Joyce, that I've really gotten as deeply into why, and this is it right here. Anyway, enough of my opinion. I'd love to hear what you think.
Well, yes, I saw the interview. I was glad that I had that on. I'm starting to watch Megyn Kelly. I'm really starting to really like her. She's kind of, I don't know if she's softened down a little bit, but I like her. She's got a lot of energy and she's really clear about her message. And, you know, and the station is giving her a lead way to do her programming, and it's very different and I really like her. But so I was absolutely thrilled to see all these powerful women who, after years, were standing up and taking back their power. And for me, this felt like a watershed moment in history. Like, we are here for this. Do you know how many years women have been put through all of the things, all of the issues of assault and battery and, you know, and sexual abuse? So to me, this is the beginning. It's not at all what needs to happen yet, and there's still millions of people out there, both men and women, who will continue to be have assault. But I think we're at a strong beginning. And, you know, while I was thinking about this today, I remember in 2009 at the Vancouver Peace Summit, the Dalai Lama said, "The world will be saved by the Western woman."
By the Western woman. It is one of my favorite quotes, Joyce. It is one of my favorite quotes. Yeah. I have said that to so many groups over the years. It is it was a powerful and poignant quote, and I do believe it. I think we have these rights. It is up to us to vocalize them and use them and leverage them on behalf of millions, if not billions, of other women on this planet. Gosh, this is gets me stirred up.
Go
and
right
I
ahead.
I agree with you about Megyn Kelly.
You know, I loved everything you said, and it was right on. And I'm just, you know, I know she'll have more and more. She's going to be doing more and more shows on this, and so it's wonderful. Everybody should be, women particularly, and men should be looking at what Megyn Kelly is doing. Her voice.
Yes, she's smart, and her perspective is balanced and fair, and we're shedding light on the truth. And I think that we've all been walking around the dark because it was just what we did. It's just, this is how it is. You know, how many generations of women had just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, "Nah, boys will be boys," or "keep it in your pants, boys," or, you know, all these sayings over the years that were just commonplace. And so here we are. Here we are in this momentous time in history. So to our listeners, if you didn't catch this interview that we're talking about that was on the Today Show this morning, please look it up. Understand the importance and the gravity of this issue and join the movement to speak up if you need to. I know last week we were warning everyone not to jump on a bandwagon simply to crucify men for being stupid. And so much of that was generated from my own personal story about someone who was near and dear to me who just did something really incredibly stupid and was nearly threatened with a sexual harassment lawsuit over it. But you know, I was the subject of it, or the object, I guess I should say. And it was about intent. So we gave that warning out last week, but this week it's really, we do need to jump on the bandwagon to support women's rights and the protection from sexual assault. So please check out that interview. And Joyce, thank you for letting me know about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, if I'd known, I would have sent it to more women. I was in the middle of it, and I said, "Oh, my God, Jennifer's got to hear this." So.
Yeah.
So
if you can Google it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So welcome to our program for today. And our topic, our inquiry is learning to let go, which is a very powerful topic. You know, to let go does not mean to get rid of. To let go means to let be. When we let be with compassion, things come and go on their own. And that's, you know, Jack Canfield, author and meditation, very well-known meditation teacher, Buddhist teacher. That's something he says, and it just really hit me. You know, it's not about just getting rid of everything at one time. So, you know, there just seems to be hundreds of things during our lives that we need to learn to let go of, like the loss of someone we love, feelings of anger, the story we tell ourselves about our life, the stuff we endlessly purchase that we don't need. And the most prevalent of all is really our busyness, that we're all way too busy. So when thinking about this subject, I asked several of my coaching clients what they really wanted, and this is what they told me, that they wanted peace and stability, that they wanted more time and freedom to do what they really like to do or love to do, and that they wanted a community of like-minded people to be involved in and support them, and that they really wanted better control of their negative thoughts, are able to manage their mind in a better way than just endlessly having these same thoughts go over and over. So it appears to me if what we really want is to simplify our lives, we will need to let go and surrender to the flow of life's many things that are causing us discontent. And Pempa Chodron, she's a Buddhist, says something. I saw this and it really just hit me. Nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know. And I thought, wow, that is really, I've never looked at, particularly like physical things in the body. You wonder, why don't they go away? Why do they keep staying there? But this is really interesting, and that's what hit me when I thought about this. Nothing ever goes away until it's taught us what we need to know. And that's so true.
Yes. It really is. This is such a hot topic. And, you know, many people may not know that it's such a hot topic, just because it sounds like, you know, something we've heard so many times, just let go. But I'd like to talk about why it's such a hot topic real briefly. Last week, I introduced the concept of divine law, and oftentimes these are called universal laws. And in fact, you know, my corporation is called Universal Abundance Inc. because of the importance of these laws. But basically, we, you know, those of us like Joyce and I and many other practitioners out there, we use the term law because the principles that we're teaching demonstrate the physics of our thoughts and the powerful physics of our thoughts. And we all know that in physics, we refer to laws, the law of gravity, the law of relativity, and so forth. And so this is no different. That's how powerful letting go is. One of the divine or universal laws is based on this power of letting go. And so basically what it means is to manifest a wish into physical form. Well, I guess we're going to stop for a break. So on that note, we'll take a break and we'll be right back to talk more about the physics of letting go.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
America's wild Mustangs need our support more than ever. If you believe in the preservation of our iconic wild Mustangs and our wild places, now and for future generations, we invite you to walk with Wild Love Preserve. Founded in 2010, nonprofit Wild Love Preserve has pioneered an innovative model in wild horse conservation, which has garnered national attention and is serving as a framework in the West. As a unique legacy project, kindness, mutual respect, science, and education drive Wild Love Preserve's mission to protect and preserve Western wild horses in their native habitats and nurture the legacy of respective indigenous ecosystems as an interconnected whole for future generations to equally treasure and nurture. Thank you for your action and for having a positive impact on our lasting wildness. Together, we succeed on behalf of our greater good and collective well-being. As a charitable nonprofit, Wild Love Preserve relies on donations and grants to fund our operations in Central Idaho. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation to Wild Love Preserve. Please visit wildlovepreserve.org to learn more.
So welcome back. Today we're talking about learning how to let go. And before the break, we were talking about the power of this and why we really have to take this so seriously, because it's such a critical part of the manifestation process. And so what I was saying before we took a break is that basically to manifest a wish into physical form, a person, you know, a person, first of all, has to think about what their wish is, right? I mean, have to create the thought. but then mm-hmm. absolutely must let go in order for the energy to be free to take form. And so, you know, I have my own change methodology, as we've talked about before. And in my toolkit, I call this process the law of manifestation. Now, I took the liberty to do that myself. So take that for what it's worth. But I do fundamentally believe that this is important enough to call out on its own. And so that's why I call it that, because it can't take shape. We have to let go. We can't control it into a physical form and believe that it's going to become that thing that we think is going to be the best thing for us, right? All we're going to create by controlling is our superimposed idea of what that is. And those are not the same. So, Joyce, I love the quotes you referenced. First, I think there's a huge difference between giving up and letting go. And oftentimes people confuse those two concepts. And basically the power of letting go is in the ability to refrain from determining whether or not this person, place, or thing that we long for is in fact the right thing for us at that time in our life. And letting go is an exercise of faith to basically say to the universe, I know I really want this person to be in my life, but I really don't know if it's good for me for this person to be in my life. So instead of huffing and puffing and walking away cursing, saying this person isn't entering my life the way I want, so I'm done with them, we learn how to peacefully acknowledge that it remains to be seen and that we are willing to relinquish control over the situation and allow ourselves the vulnerability of the unknown. And then, just like your last quote states, nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know. I totally agree. This is so true. And this is often why we are challenged to learn how to let go, because the situation grows so aggravating when we haven't yet gotten the lesson or wisdom that it's trying to evoke. So it keeps aggravating us until we open up to receive the message. And I know for myself, I've been through this so many times. And in fact, you know, Joyce, when you were saying about things they can manifest, you know, physically, I was thinking just this morning, you know, I was telling you on the phone earlier before the show started that I did not sleep well last night. I got consumed with anger over something that's very, very old, an old issue that's really trying to heal. I've gone through layers of it. It's coming up. The last end of it's coming up. I went through a lot of anger, and so I was detoxing this morning, knowing I don't want to stay in this anger space. It's crazy. I'm letting go. And it occurred to me that as much as I work out all the time, the one thing that I don't have is a six-pack abs. Now, I'm not delusional enough to say I have bad body image and that I'm fat by any stretch. I'm not at all. But even my son will watch me work out and say, why don't your abs look like their abs? Because you're actually better at those sit-ups than they are. And I was thinking this morning, I've been holding on to that anger and it's manifesting in my stomach because it's a lifetime. It was a wound from my birth. So anyway, enough about me. But this great topic, well, can't say enough about it, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I think that alone, we could talk a lot about just that quote, because it does make one ponder and put something to it, like, why do I have this pain in my body right now? Why have I gained this weight? That is there something there that you're supposed to learn from having this pain? And it's just an interesting, it gives you another thing to think about why is this actually in my body? So anyway, here are several of the different types of letting go we all deal with during our life. There's so much stuff we let go of or we don't let go of, depending on how we want to be living. So one of the most important, I think, that most of us are going to be dealing with is letting go of our story. So you ask yourself, what stories about yourself are you continuing to tell yourself day after day? And for both Jennifer and I who see clients, we know that there's story after story after story that often is actually not true, or it's partly not true. So things like you might have the beliefs I'm just a survivor. I hear people say that all the time. I'm responsible for my life, nobody else. I will never allow myself to get hurt again. So, okay, those are their beliefs, but what are they doing to your life and who comes into your life? So, you know, later on, you could just take a few moments to write down your personal unique story that's only your story. And you might choose to write down your experiences, your family beliefs, or other influences that help to shape how you view yourself right now, right now. And once you listen to your beliefs about yourself and identify a few of your stories, you can ask yourself the following questions. When did this story come from? Where did the story come from, actually? Is this my story or does it belong to somebody else? Is this story true for me now in my life? Is this story contributing to or undermining my happiness? Do I choose to continue to live this story, or is it time to write a new one, believe a new one, and write a new one? And an example might be, you may feel that you've been rejected. You've been rejected, and sort of in a minor way, a minor situation, nothing really big, just something maybe your family member said to you or your friend said to you, and your response is way over the top. So this is an indication that you've been triggered by your beliefs from the past that support you in the belief possibly of, I'm not loved, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve love. We know people have way big responses to something that's so minor and wasn't even meant that. Well, that's usually triggering something else and goes back to something that hasn't been cleared. So, you know, the most effective strategy for working with your personal stories or readjusting your mindset is to observe your thoughts objectively and to refrain from getting too attached to them. Getting attached to a thought is not a good thing because they're not necessarily true. So most importantly, it's essential to remember that you are not your story and that it does not define you. These narratives are one of numerous thoughts that go streaming through your mental database nonstop. It is part of being human, is all I can say. It's up to you to be aware of these stories that you've been telling yourself maybe since you're a child and holding on to and telling other people, and to decide whether to live by them or not. So if you want to change your old story to knowing that you are surrounded by support and friendships, you're going to need to replace the old belief with an updated, more positive belief and statement. A statement that might be for that particular issue, like, I'm fully supported and surrounded by people who care about me. I'm worthy of creating the life I deserve. And I'm able to create and manage a thriving business. Those are very different than the others that I mentioned, that the belief that you're alone. So that's just a rule of talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And I agree with you that when we really start to dig down into our stories, we often find that the wounds originated from a belief that we aren't lovable or good enough. And so we attracted someone to validate that belief. And so then we got wounded again. You know, it becomes our vicious cycle as long as we're holding on to that belief. Because we will continue to attract more and more people who will validate that belief for us. And then we become so attached to the pain over time that we are challenged to first learn the lesson that, you know, we keep attracting this type of person because we don't believe we're lovable, and then identify and change the sabotaging belief, which is, I believe I'm not lovable, and then finally releasing that story to say, I am lovable. It's incredibly challenging because the pain of our story becomes a new addiction of sorts. Our brains wire around the story, especially when we tell it a lot, and then it forms a new comfort zone, hoping we'll stay inside the story and never break away. But remember, the name of the game here is we have to be smarter than our brains. So,
absolutely.
I know you got more to share, Joyce, but I just wanted to add to
that. Yeah, so
good stuff.
Absolutely. We do have to be smarter than our brains. They don't always help us. Sometimes they do a lot, but not always. So one of the other ones that most people would try to give up who think that is not necessary is let go of being busyness, too busy in your life. So this one issue, we all want to let go of this. Everyone I know seems to be stretched and working work responsibilities and information overload. We have less and less time to do the things that we really want to do, like just reading a book, like spending time with a friend, just hanging out, spending time with your children, spending more time with your children, taking a wellness break, or taking more long weekends. Sometimes the best way to have more time, connection, and freedom is to commit to less. So how can you simplify your life so you have more time for what really matters? What is the first thing you can let go of today? So if you're listening to this, when you get off the line, when you stop with your technology, ask yourself, what is something that I can let go of? What can I let go of today that I really don't need that's just making me busy? So let's go to looking at another one, which is really interesting, which is letting go of judgment by surrendering. And this is a big one. And you may or may not have heard this story, but I love the Oprah story about how she got the role of Sophia in the movie version of The Color Purple. It happened over a period of like around her of crippling disappointment when she was led to audition for the film only to be told she wasn't a real actress and asked how dare she have the audacity to turn up at an audition alongside all the other real actresses in the first place. Now, she had been focused on this and totally knew she was going to get this. I mean, I've never seen anybody so obsessed wanting a movie than she did. So obviously, after that, she walked out of there feeling betrayed, like she had been guided toward failure by God. She even went as far as believing that perhaps the reason she didn't get the part was because of her weight. So she went to a fat farm. And after running around the track for multiple laps, she stopped, cried, and started to sing the Christian hymn, I Surrender All. And we'll be right back to finish that story.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Depleted by the rat race? Depressed by the attitudes of the human race? The book Honor explains why and how to transform your life from confusion and heartache to one that you most authentically desire. Join Om Times Radio host Jennifer McKenna Weinbaum as she takes you on her journey from her darkest period to her happiest and healthiest life. Entertaining, enlightening, Honor will help you find and maintain the love and light in your own life. Visit www.universalabundance.com to pre-order your copy.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Listen, my life changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. People think that having someone who will listen makes it better. I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I think that having someone who will listen makes it better. People understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to turn addiction around. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. So I was telling a story, one of my favorite stories, and many people have heard this, about Oprah and the movie The Color Purple. So as I was saying, she was at, she went to a, what she says, fat farm after, and so she was out there running around laps and thinking, oh, it's because I weigh so much and I've gained all this weight. And then she just stopped. She started crying and started singing this Christian hymnal, I Surrender All. And so after a period of time of doing this, she said what she understood was that the only way to get over and move forward from her disappointment was to surrender, just to give it up. She had to imagine herself being content with seeing another actress in the role she craved, to be able to say, actually, it was a good thing she got it and not me. And that was when the miracle happened. Shortly after the brief but beautiful moment of surrender, she received a phone call while she was still there from Steven Spielberg offering her the part. And he said to her, don't you run around and exercise anymore, because I don't want you to lose 1 pound of weight, because you're going to have the leading role. So she goes on. So she goes to allow the flow to work for her. So that's a great story about, you know, when you have nothing else, you just have to let go sometimes when you don't know why life is bringing you something that you so wanted.
It is such a great story. I mean, oh my gosh, it perfectly illustrates the power of letting go. And it embodies the old adage, let go and let God, right? We always hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she did. And we get tested on these things, you know. It's like she felt betrayed by God because she thought she was following that message. But she had to get pushed. And a lot of times that's relative to our desire. The more you want it, the more you're going to have to let go, and the harder that's going to be. And so I've just come to truly believe that just as our world is governed by gravity and relativity, so too has it been created to be governed by faith. And when we do not learn to let go or surrender to our divine power or creator, we never experience the magic or the miracles that are waiting for us all the time. And this is exactly why today's topic is such a hot one, in my opinion, because we all have a control freak inside of our minds that wants everything to be exactly as it wants it to be. You know, why do we think I was hangry last night? I wanted to go back in time and make things the way I wanted to make things. I can laugh at the silliness of my brain at this stage of the game, but you know, when that doesn't happen and we don't get it exactly the way we want it, exactly when we want it, we judge, we crucify, we cry, we rebel, we quit. And if we really want to bring our dreams to physical form, we absolutely must learn how to surrender, just like Oprah did. And, you know, she probably was running around and between her emotional state and her physical state, she just broke into tears, right? Sometimes we do that. Mm-hmm. We're pushing so hard, we break. And then the mm-hmm. tears come, and then the floodgates open, and then we're able to surrender. And there are several ways to slice this. You know, we don't always have to push ourselves to that point. There are other ways to understand the art of letting go, but we can think of it in terms of surrendering to our higher power, relinquishing control of a situation, allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, letting go of our obsessive thinking, releasing negative perspectives. These are all concepts that demonstrate what it means to let go. And in fact, if you listen to pop music at all, there's a new hit out by Pink called What About Us? And in this song, she emphatically sings my favorite line. And she says, I don't want control. I want to let go. And if you know anything about Pink's story and her rise to the top of her industry, it is no surprise that she also understands the power of this concept, because certainly she has manifested an extraordinary life because of it, just like mm-hmm. Oprah.
Absolutely. I love that song. I love it. I love the song, Pink, and I like Pink too.
So. I do too. Yeah. And when it gets to that line, I belt it in my car.
So our next letting go of that we all can look at is releasing negative thoughts. So that's pretty much something also that all of us have to do, be aware of pretty much all the time. So many of us spend much of our time in the why did this happen or in the should or should not have happened. And you hear people talk about that all the time. So Eckhart Tolle speaks beautifully in his book, A New Earth, which has been around for a while, but it's one of the best books ever printed, in my opinion. He shares this story of two Zen monks, one Tenzan and Ikino, were walking along the country road that had become extremely muddy after heavy rains. Near a village, they came upon a young woman who was trying to cross the road, but the mud was so deep, it would have ruined her silk kimono that she was wearing. So Tenzan at once picked her up and carried her to the other side. So the monks walked out in silence. 5 hours later, they were approaching the lodging temple where they lived. And Ikido couldn't restrain himself any longer. So he said, "Why did you carry that girl across the road?" he asked. "You know, we monks are not supposed to do things like that." And so the comment was, "I put the girl down hours ago," said Tenzan. "Are you still carrying her?" So that story that's the reality for so many people. Maybe you're one of them, holding on to what happened or what you think should have not happened. That could be months or years ago. Years ago. So the next letting go is one that I encounter a lot in teaching and working with loss and grief. So it's releasing the suffering from loss and grief. And there's a big difference that in loss and grief, we're not meant to suffer. We're meant to experience the emotions of loss and grief. So Frances Weller, who's the author of The Wild Edge of Sorrow, Rituals of Renewal, and The Sacred Work of Grief, who I love this book and highly, highly recommend it, writes, "Grief is subversive, undermining the quiet agreement to behave and be in control of our emotions. It is an act of protest that declares our refusal to live numb and small. In some cases, people who have lost a loved one blame and shame themselves and refuse to let go of the suffering." We all know people like that who 20 years later, they're still suffering. So grief and loss are natural. They're appropriate emotions for loss, but suffering is unnatural, and it is a deadly emotion that is toxic to the mind and to the body. So grief is not a state of deadness or emotional flatness. Grief is alive, it's wild, it's untamed, it cannot be domesticated. It resists the demands to remain passive and still. So we move into this jagged, unsettled, and riotous way when grief takes hold of us. It is truly an emotion that rises from the soul. So you have to let go of what is hurting you, even if it feels almost impossible, like you just can't do it. So because deciding to hold on to the past will hold you back from creating a strong sense of self, and a self that isn't defined by your past, but rather by who you want to be.
You know, Joyce, yeah. I have really had to work hard to move past my own story. And so as much as I teach all these concepts and live them, you know, when we have these conversations and I hear your part of the discussion, it always makes me reflect on where I am, what I'm still working on, or what I'm not, you know, what I've victoriously moved past, but what's the new stage and so forth. But it's especially difficult when my career as a coach and an author demand that I retell the story for the sake of inspiring others. So what I have had to learn how to do is let go of it in a way where it still preserves and honors it, but it doesn't have a hold on me. Because when I was living the story, it was very toxic to my system. I did not know how to suffer grief or how to separate grief from suffering at the time. And this was, you know, many years ago, but I still tell the story a lot because it's a powerful part of helping to inspire others. But one of the motivators, this may sound a little sick and twisted, so I'm going to preface it with that. One of the motivators that's worked for me to moving past the past, so to speak, is to remind myself that the people in my past that deeply dishonored me don't deserve a space in my head. And, you know, you talk about people that suffered a loss of a loved one. So it certainly is not the case here. But a lot of people do what I did and hold on to stories because someone really did them wrong. And the pain was just incredibly deep because of those deep beliefs that I'm not lovable. Right. And so we attract like sociopaths who have no capacity to love us. That's my story, whatever. But they don't deserve a space in my head, right? I don't say this with vindication. I really don't. I say it with a sense of self-love. Their actions caused major traumas in my life. And even though I can accept and acknowledge that it was my deeply held unconscious belief at the time that attracted them in, I can take ownership of that. I have done the heavy lifting of changing those beliefs, working really hard to do that and to undo all that trauma and the effects of it. But I have to acknowledge it's their actions that caused the major traumas, deeply wounding me, spinning me into an abyss of fear and even terror at times inside of myself, even after they were out of my life. Something would trigger it, the memory. And so to put it simply, their thoughts, words, and actions caused me tremendous harm, and I held on to that. I held on to that belief that I was victimized by this and I wasn't going to be victimized again, and I put a wall around myself. And so just because I once loved them and just because I continue to strive to love all people doesn't mean that I have to allow them into the space of my head or heart. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'd like to finish that thought so that I don't leave it dangling in the wrong place. So we'll be back.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
So welcome back. As we're talking about learning how to let go, I was starting to tell the story about how I've attracted multiple sociopaths into my life, which is another whole show down the road, and we won't get into all that today, but it did leave me with some major wounds that I have had to work really hard on, and so the art of letting go has been something I should have mastered by now, but I'm still sometimes working on it. But what I was saying, I sometimes used to motivate me to move through a moment when I might be stuck in my head around it, is to remember that their presence in my life caused a tremendous amount of harm to begin with. And as long as I hold on to that story, as long as I hold on to that pain, I am continuing to give them my power. And I refuse to do that. And that sometimes motivates me to move out of that thought space in my head when I'm getting into that toxic space. And so, you know, because when we're in that toxic space, their presence, even the mere thought of this person or these people, is incredibly toxic to the whole system, my whole system, your whole system, the neural impacts of my thoughts, this neurological impact, the neural impact of the thoughts about these people and the memory triggers biochemical responses that evoke harsh emotions that ultimately harm our physical state as well. This doesn't just happen to me. It's happened several times, but it doesn't just happen to me. It happens to all of us when we allow this to occur. So when something happens that triggers the madness of memory like this, I remind myself that I stay in this process. If I hold on to this memory in this moment, I am still giving that person power. And that, my friend, is just too much to ask. It's my power, and they don't deserve to have it. So instead of staying with that anger, I consciously force my brain to shift to love. Even if it's just self-love in the moment, or I'll look and see, you know, who do I love, and my animals or my children or whatever. But I'll even do a quick visualization of cutting the cord between me and that person, or I'll start chanting powerful I am statements like, I am able to let go of this moment with grace and ease. I am in a new space in my life where I enjoy the company of people who really do love me. Or it may be as simple as, I am at peace, and I just repeat it over and over. And then I move on with my day. I give my brain another place to go that's more productive, allowing myself to get lost in my work or a funny movie or a conversation with my kids or a good book. Physically moving my mind out of the gutter and into something more meaningful and pleasurable. But those are just some simple tricks that I've learned along the way during moments that blindside me when I have to quickly shift gears before I start spiraling, you know, and I need to let go in that moment. Like, right after I've dropped the kids off at school and a song on the radio triggers a new floodgate of bad memory, you know, just moments like that. I can either allow that moment to take over my brain for the rest of the day, or I can shift and take my power back and get on with my day more productively. And there are lots of other deeper ways to let go for good, which is what Joyce is going to get back to. But I just wanted to jump in there and say there's also some of these quick little tips when in a moment you just want to make that shift.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Jennifer, I assure you that I have, you know, I have many things still to move through, to let go of, you know, so it's not just you. So yeah, I think I've done it a little bit longer, and I've just done it a little bit longer since I'm older than you. And, you know, there's always stuff to let go of. It never is endless, but hopefully I don't hold on to it like I used to when I was in my 20s and 30s and agonize over that stuff. And so just I let it go. So as best I can. So, So, you know, I think many of us know what we need to let go of. I think if you ask people and sat with them long enough, they'd tell you, that's really not a good thing that I do, or I keep doing that and it's not helpful. But, you know, the question is, but how do we actually do that? That's the question people ask me. Okay, yes, I got that. I need to let go of it. But how do I do that? I don't know how to do that. So I recently had a client who came in for a session to discuss how she could forgive her father for not being present in her early life and making her feel like she was not important or loved. So here are some of the steps that we did, I'd say, at the beginning process. Remember, there's no one session or one book or anything that is going to take care of all this. Letting go and getting and feeling and understanding how to let go really is a lifetime thing that you just get better and better at doing it, truthfully. So Colin Tippin, who's the author of a book called Radical Forgiveness, which, again, is a wonderful book, and he travels all over the world teaching this process, and he lives here in Atlanta. He has a practice that will help people to shift their beliefs and create a way to look at the stages of forgiving and letting go. Because often forgiving, and then you let go. So one of the things that I've used, and Jennifer probably uses this too, is when people come in just to, or with a friend or any situation, is to let them tell you their story. people are not really allowed to talk about the story, their story of their life, and all these, you know, things that have happened, not endlessly, but usually there's a story of where this all came from. So once you've listened, once you've listed your beliefs, so written them down like we suggested earlier, and identified a few of your stories, this is the time to share your story with someone who's willing and compassionately can just listen to you tell your story and honors it as the truth for the moment. It doesn't even mean they have to know that this is absolute truth, but you just honor the story that the person is telling because they believe it to be true. So having your story told is the first and one of the most vital steps of letting go, because you can't let go if you don't ever tell your story. And many people that I experience have never told their story, and they've never told the trauma, and they keep that stuff until they're in their 50s or 60s. So the second step is to feel the feelings. So again, it's vital that you express your emotions freely and allow yourself to access the pain that the healing can begin. So when you feel this authentic pain, and when you feel it, it's pretty deep, or feel your core issue that surrounds the loss, it can eventually turn to more peace and thankfulness over a period of time if you're working on that. And one of the other things, next step, is reframe the story. So this step looks at how our story began and how our interpretation of events, and often they're false, informed our beliefs and caused us to have the beliefs we carry about ourselves right now. And all these trigger things that we've talked about over all the programs, most of them trigger back to our childhood of something we just didn't clear up, or we never talked about, or our family never talked to us about that situation. We also, when we reframe stuff, we can see how the ego keeps us stuck in this victim role. And we may not even realize what's happening, but we've all been around people who tell their story over and over and over, and it's like, okay, enough. I got that story. And then to move it even further is to create a new written story. So I asked this client that I was seeing, the next time I want to see you, I want you to write me a story of possibility of how your life could possibly be. And that was pretty daunting for her because she said, I have no idea how to write a story. I don't even know what it is. I said, well, I want you to dream about that. So this step looks at integrating our story and often seeing the reality of what happened as just part of our healing and spiritual journey. So we now have this opportunity to dream and create a story of our life. And that can shift. You have no idea. When you write a new story, then you speak that story to people, it can shift a lot of energy through for what you believed that you're willing to start looking to how you can give that up.
Yes. And then by the time you get to that point, then you can come full circle back to where we started when we launched this mm-hmm. show, to creating a new vision for your life, right? Because if you can transform your own story and your beliefs to benefit you, then you can start looking ahead and thinking, now where do I want to go, right? I don't have to be stuck in the past and stuck in this pain. Mm-hmm. And so you can see how beautifully all of this flows together. There's no one-size-fits-all answer to transformation. It's a fluid process. And each week, Joyce and I simply introduce a part of that process that we think is critical for you to be aware of so that you can consciously live, work, and play in a way that brings you great joy, sustainable happiness, amazing health and vitality, and then ultimately the most meaningful and rewarding relationships you can imagine. And so learning how to let go is a crucial step toward creating this life. It's a skill that obviously needs to be developed and honed, and like Joyce and I joked, it's something we'll always have to use. It's a skill you're always going to have to use. There will always be something to let go of. But as Joyce mentioned, the more we practice it, the easier it becomes as we get challenged. And so, you know, life is always going to provide us with these opportunities to practice every day, all day, from little things like letting go of your need to check email and Facebook every 5 minutes to gradually yes. letting go of the need to have your kids do exactly what you want the way you want it. Like, there are these other, they don't have to always be these deeply embedded stories that we need to let go of. They can be these daily things. These can be areas where we practice this skill. And lots of experience in between with friends and lovers and customers and employees and peers and neighbors. So just be on the lookout of when you've entered a zone where maybe you need to let go a little.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we wrap up today's show, let's do what we typically do. Let's recap briefly.
Okay.
Joyce, you want to start us off?
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. So first we want to remind everyone that letting go isn't the same as getting rid of or walking away from in frustration or giving up. It's about relinquishing control, surrendering the situation to a higher power, or as many say, letting go and letting God. Exercising faith is also a time to look at the inability to let go and ask yourself, is there a lesson or wisdom in this recurring situation or obsessive thought that hasn't been learned yet? And this
Okay. So we've also given you simple, quick tips to shift, as well as bigger exercises to go back and listen to this podcast and try some I am statements and retelling your story. So thanks for listening today. We hope you'll join us next week.
Absolutely. So join us next week as we teach you how to power up your brain. We thought this would be a great next step. Take care. Be safe. We love you.
Yes. Until next week, be well.